Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, it's really a delight to be here. It's my pleasure, and I've just always loved this community. I've been here several times over the years. In fact, probably 15 or 20 years, some of you may know Holly and Buddy Wilson. They used to come up to Unity Church of the Hills. I think they got tired of the drive, and they said, you know, we're done with this. We're going to start something down here. And apparently, they started something in the barn on their property, and I was back here a few times, 2005, 6, or 7, with the Unitines. We had a Unitine event, I remember, out on the property. And so it's just, I've always been inspired by this spiritual community that you all have created here. Just so loving and open and accepting. So it's my pleasure to be here today. And also, I'm delighted to find out that today is Potluck Sunday. And I have it on good authority that Tommy Potts does a mean pulled pork, so I'm looking forward to that. All right, so what I'm going to share with you today is a secret sauce, and you can put it on just about anything, and it makes it better. And the good news is there's no complicated recipe, no hard-to-find ingredients. It's readily available, but you got to have something to put that special sauce on, so we'll come back to that in a minute. So what we'll talk about today is what I'm going to call physical laws, universal laws, and spiritual laws. And so, let me get this. I think I may have just turned it off. Somebody had it on for me. Okay, so what we're going to talk about today is what I'm going to refer to as physical laws, universal laws, and spiritual laws. And the physical ones are the ones we're all familiar with. Spiritual laws, we go to church and we study various spiritual books and workshops and classes, but there's a whole bunch of stuff in the middle. And it's all this stuff in the middle, it's really juicy and it's interesting and it's exciting. And like many of you, I've delved into all this. For me, it was in my 20s. I read every book I could get my hands on. I read all the channeled works by like Seth and Ramtha, and I read books on out-of-body experiences and lucid dreaming and astral projection and reincarnation, and I did all kinds of workshops like Silva Mind Control. And so for me, that was just like, you know, blew my mind open, gave me lots of new ideas, very inspiring. But one thing about these is that sometimes they get a little bit mixed up in our head, and sometimes we mistake what I will refer to as a universal law or universal principle for a spiritual law or a spiritual principle. So we'll get into that in a little bit more detail. But for me, it's been good to tease out these distinctions and ask ourselves, you know, where am I placing my faith? And so the word universal is somewhat of an arbitrary term. I struggle with that because sometimes we use the word universal to refer to the spiritual realm. But this universal, you could also call it like ethereal, you know, sort of all that juicy stuff in the middle. So what we'll do is we'll just go through this. Oh, if you notice, next to each one, I have the word dualistic, and non-dualistic. So what's meant by that is in a dualistic thought system or in a dualistic world like this physical world, there's a right and a wrong. There's always a winner and a loser. If somebody gets something, somebody has to lose something. There's love and there's fear. There's good and bad. There's judgments. So that's the aspect of a dualistic thought system. And the beautiful thing about unity, if you notice, under spiritual, we've got non-dualistic. Unity is unique, along with other New Thought churches, in being a non-dualistic thought system. And that's basically unity spiritual principle number one. There's just one and only one power in the universe, God the good. That's all there is. There's no opposite force. There's no devil trying to, like, fight for people's souls. There's no, you know, Satan trying to, you know, trick us and, you know, get us to do something, you know, we wouldn't want to do. There's only God. There's only one power and presence in the universe. And that's our opportunity and our challenge is to affirm that despite the appearances before us. So let's start with the physical laws here in the bottom. We've got laws like gravity and, you know, the laws of nature, laws of, you know, things like nutrition. There's things that are good for us. There's things that are bad for us. And especially, you know, we try and do all these things that we think are good for us, get exercise and sunshine for our vitamin D and sleep well. But then we're also afraid of the bad foods. We're afraid of toxins and poisons and, you know, smoking is bad for us. So we have all these things that are supposedly good for us and these things that are bad for us. But for the most part, we just obey these physical laws. We respect them. And, of course, until we get a result that we don't like. But for the most part, we go along with this stuff, right? And the key is to neither fight them nor to worship them, not to be so caught up in things and so afraid that if I don't do this, my body's going to fall apart. And so now while these physical laws seem very real to us and very solid, Jesus came to remind us that they're not quite as solid as they might appear. And of course, Jesus was constantly flouting these physical laws, actually. You know, he was multiplying the loaves and the fishes, feeding 5,000 people, you know, walking on water, turning water into wine at the wedding, or calming the storm when their ship was being tossed about. And of course, he healed many, many people, raised people from the dead. But the key here is that Jesus never claimed to be doing this from his own personal power. It wasn't him that's doing it. He was always acknowledging God's power and God's presence. In fact, before he raised Lazarus, he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." And at other times, he said, "The works I do in my Father's name testify on my behalf." And so Jesus was telling us that when we call upon spiritual powers, when we call upon God and ask God to be present in our experience, then anything can change. So these physical laws can always be overridden. A physical law can be overridden by a universal law, and a universal law can be overridden by a spiritual law. So that's our opportunity, is to, despite what we see before us, is to claim these spiritual truths, and then they transform our lives in ways that, you know, we couldn't do by ourselves, or we might not even expect. So I mentioned these examples, particularly of Jesus, just so we can loosen our grip a little bit and become aware that this physical world we live in is a lot more fungible than it appears to be. Okay, so let's move on to these universal laws and universal principles. So these are various phenomena or laws, like the law of attraction or the law of mind action. Thoughts held in mind, reproduce in kind. Many of you have heard this before. Things like energetic healing, that would be like Reiki healing, and concepts like reincarnation. And so it's interesting, reincarnation is not like a principle or taught at Unity churches all that much, even though most people who attend think that might make sense to them. In fact, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, the co-founders of Unity, they both thought that reincarnation made sense. Charles even thought he had some idea of who he might have been in his past lives. But both of them, they came to the conclusion that while reincarnation seemed to be so, just the way things worked, that wasn't the answer. And so the key for these things, whether it's psychic powers or these things that we may be able to do or access, they're tools, or they can be concepts or ideas that are inspiring and helpful and help us understand things better, but we also don't want to let them become an excuse, in the sense that, you know, if someone starts to understand the issue that they've had all their life, well, you know, in a past life this happened to me and I've been dealing with this for years and years and years, and so that's why I have this problem. But we don't stop there, because the only time that healing takes place is right here and now. And when we're turning to God and turning to that spirit within us to face these challenges that we have with God, well, then when we're healed across time. You know, past, present, and future can all be healed. So we just need to be careful to see these things for what they are, useful, inspiring ideas or tools, but they can always be placed in service of a higher good. And so really the question is, are we doing this for ourselves or out of the ego? Or doing it for some greater good, and being of service to others, asking Spirit to guide and direct us. So let's move on to the spiritual realm. The laws there are actually pretty simple and straightforward. Perfection, wholeness, oneness, abundance, divine order. There's not a whole lot of like juicy stories to tell here, but these are the ultimate spiritual truths that really bring us peace. And that's why we come here, to be reminded of these truths and reminded of who we really are as a perfect creation. So this is a little bit theoretical. Let me just share a few examples. And so one example that just came to me a few months ago, so this was in late May, early June, our son drove to Seattle for an internship. And so we were debating, we got three cars, which car should we give him? So I was figuring, you know, we got this 1998 Honda Accord. It's like 19 years old, but it was literally grandpa and grandma's car, so it had low mileage. It's like, well, let him wear that thing out. So he drives to Seattle. He took the long way. It's like 3,000 miles. So a week later, I read an article or I saw something, a headline, but essentially I scanned this and it basically said you should get rid of your old cars and not drive old cars anymore, because none of the safety features either exist or they might not work. The airbags might not deploy, or the seatbelt tensioner might not work, and they don't have anti-lock brakes, and only one airbag. And I'm just driving to work one day, and this is just spinning through my head, and I'm starting to feel like guilty dad. You know, oh, I really should have let him take the Prius. You know, what if he gets in a terrible accident? You know, he's like permanently injured. And this is, you know, usually I'm aware of my thoughts, but somehow it's just spinning out of control here. Stopped at a stoplight, and there's a Walgreens right here on the right, and they had a little limestone wall along the parking lot, and someone had hit that limestone wall, and these big blocks were scattered around. And I was like, wow, somebody must have hit that pretty hard. And I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden, wham, I got rear-ended from behind. And I was sort of, you know, shocked and surprised and got out of the car, and even though I was surprised, it was probably only 5 or 10 miles an hour. And we looked, and the other guy's bumper, my bumper, went nice and smooth, perfectly lined up. There was no damage. So we just shook hands and went on our way. And after the sort of adrenaline surge, you know, calmed down, I was driving to work. I was actually grateful for that experience. Now, I would prefer that thoughts not become things that easily. I'd rather, but it was a lesson for me and a real opportunity for me to become aware of where my thoughts were taking me. And this was all in the space of just a few minutes. Now, ideally, I would have caught myself. And I would have caught myself and really said a prayer knowing that, okay, my son is protected. He is going about his father's business. He's expressing joy and he's having fun. And all the drivers on the road and he can just be in this little dance of cooperation. Not just them, but everyone. And I could be affirming safety and joy and harmony and you know, divine order. But I didn't. But as we just heard in that beautiful song, when you fall back, when you fall down, you get back up again, and eventually you choose differently. Eventually you choose to go down another street. And so that's really every time this happens to us, and we all have it. We spin out of control, you know, our thoughts just go wild on us, we catch ourselves, and then we call upon these spiritual principles or these spiritual laws. So many of you have probably done image books, or, you know, sort of like you do it on a poster, or there's different ways to do this. So we've been doing it about 15 years ago. We had a workshop at Unity Church of the Hills, and you cut out pictures, and then you like put the things that you want to do. You know, like I had one, Europe with Jennifer. It took like 15 years before this happened, but we've been there a couple times now, and so you just cut out all these pictures. The clean desk hasn't quite happened yet. we're working on that one, but this is a great process. It's great to do this, but the key is to not do it by yourself. It's very easy to get fixated on, I'm gonna get this thing. So, in fact, some of you may have like a weekly prayer group. Sometimes they're called mastermind groups, but you get together with some friends and you pray with each other every week, and somebody asks for something, and then everybody goes around the table and affirms that for someone. But what I found is a very powerful way to end that prayer is to say, and I see this for you, or something better. And that's when you're opening it up, because you can get fixated on, this is what I want. I want this particular job. I've applied for it. I've submitted my resume, and I want you to pray for me to get this job. And of course, we pray to support that person, and then we say, this or something better. And that's the secret sauce. That's when you're inviting spirit in. You're inviting spirit to guide and direct you, because otherwise we can get fixated on it being our way, and God doesn't interfere if we've decided to do something our own way and walk down the same street every time and fall in the same hole. It's our choice. You know, that's the concept of free will. So this example is a little bit made up, but it's relevant. So imagine that, you know, your car is done. You know, it's time to get another car, but you've only got like a $3,000 budget, but you've been studying these principles. You've been studying the law of attraction. You're all excited. And you cut pictures out and you put it on there, and you're gonna get yourself a black BMW 3 Series. You're really pumped. And you know, you've got all the pictures on your wall, and every morning you look at it and you sit down and you meditate and you pray. You got the juice flowing, right? You know, you're feeling the feelings of what it'd be like to drive this thing. You're all excited. And despite your friends are telling you, you know, you should really just settle for Corolla, because they're cheaper, they're reliable, you know, but no, you're fixated on this thing. But that fixation and that determination as to what the outcome is going to look like can also block us from other sources of good. You know, perhaps your cousin, who you see once every year or two, lives in another state. Well, he just got a work assignment. He's going to go overseas for 2 years. But they just bought a brand new Camry, and they don't want to sell it. But, you know, if we're open and receptive, well, then, you know, your mom can call her brother, you know, and they're talking about you guys. And he mentions that your cousin is going to be leaving. And before you know it, bam, bam, he's like, yeah, I'd love to have you take care of it. I don't want to sell this car. We just bought it. So that's the key, is to, again, just keep on whatever situation we're in, whatever we're doing, invite God in, invite Spirit in. That's the secret sauce. It's really that simple. There's another example. I've heard people use a technique when they're sick and praying about some ailment, is to imagine that all of their immune cells, millions and millions of immune cells, are they've got their swords drawn. And they're ready to go out and slay all the bad bacteria and virus and cancer cells all throughout the bloodstream and the lymphatic system. And every day you sit down and you go through this 20-minute process of visualizing this battle. But then when you think about that, that's a dualistic fight that we've entered. When we do that, we're you know, fighting against something. We're thinking that some good thing is going to slay some bad thing. That's when we catch ourselves. And we affirm for ourselves health, vitality. We know that God's will for us is nothing but peace and ease and grace. God doesn't will sickness on us to, like, test us and see how good we are to, you know, slog through it. No, God's will for us is abundance, grace, harmony. And so if we can do that, great. And if we can't even muster up the sort of the strength to claim these truths for ourselves, well, then we can just ask. And just say, God, this is really hard. I don't know what to do. What would it be like to express your vitality? What would it be like for this body to just function transparently? What would it be like to be an instrument of your peace and expression and joy? What would it be like for this body to just flow naturally and for this not to be so hard? Because that prayer, that inviting Spirit in, will work wonders, always. God will always fill that space. And it really doesn't matter what we're doing. It's just, you know, the type of work we do or the thing that we think we're doing that's good for ourselves. And we all do that. You know, I do yoga and I run and I try and eat really healthy and I try and do all this stuff that I think is good for me. The key, though, is to do that with a sense of joy and not a sense of I must do this or everything will fall apart. And there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. It's just sort of the mindset that we take to it as we're doing it. So there was a woman at Unity Church of the Hills who several years ago we were talking, and she's a psychotherapist. And she told me that every time before she goes into a meeting with a patient, she says a four-word prayer. She says, my voice, your words. My voice, your words. Can you imagine the blessing that every patient receives when she walks into the room to meet with them? Because she's not walking in there to fix broken people. You know, she sees the wholeness in them. She sees their completion, their perfection. And she has a PhD in psychology, so she knows all of the, you know, psychological disorders. You know, she knows the techniques for counseling. She knows all the things that she's been taught in school. And she will apply those. And while she's talking, she may recognize a particular psychological disorder at play, but she's always got her mind on that person's perfection and wholeness, and she's asking Spirit to guide and direct her. So then she'll know exactly what to say, exactly what to do, that thing that person needs to hear for their healing. And so that's, again, it's our opportunity regardless of what we're doing. So she works mostly in the universal realm. An emergency room doctor would be working in the physical realm. But he too can be inspired and guided and directed to do just the right thing for that patient by being in that place of receptivity and openness and calling upon these spiritual laws that allow him to be guided and directed. I'm an engineer, so I work in the physical realm every day. But, you know, a Reiki healer who does energetic healing, that's in the universal realm. So again, it doesn't matter what we do, what our job is, what our particular area of interest is, or what it is that inspires us, just so long as we take it higher. So in summary, it's really all about inviting God into our thought process, becoming aware of where we're putting our faith, Are we putting our faith in God, or are we putting our faith in idols? And when I say idol, that means like if we believe that this thing, we must do this thing or else, you know, everything will just fall apart. And the other key point is to understand or catch ourselves if we're expending effort. So, you know, I tried to, in a fit of creativity, I angled some of that text there. So like that little, it says effort. So in the bottom one, things that, you know, in the physical realm, things take effort and they take time. And then even in the universal realm, it takes effort and it takes repeating. It seems that we have to do these things over and over again. But in the spiritual realm, it's just effortless, instantaneous. So if you catch yourself trying really hard to make something happen, that's a clue that we need to ask for help, that we need to be drawing upon spiritual truths and spiritual powers. And as I said, there's nothing wrong with following and respecting all these physical and universal laws. I mean, this is just our experience. This is the world that we live in. And we can also apply these to any aspect of our life, whether it's work or our creative endeavors, relationships with family or friends, or various aspects of health, mental, emotional, physical. And also the key is to catch ourselves when we spin out of control. So if you catch yourself this week and your thought process just runs away from you, it doesn't matter whether we catch it minutes later, hours later, days later. The key is to catch ourselves, get back up, and then choose to walk down a different path next time. So there's a beautiful introduction to lesson 155 in A Course in Miracles, and it goes like this. There is a way of living in the world that is not here, although it seems to be. You do not change appearance, though you smile more frequently. Your forehead is serene, your eyes are quiet. And it goes on and on about living in this world but not of it, of basically knowing where your true home is, knowing where true power resides, and then we can walk a little bit more gracefully in this world. So let's go ahead and take this into meditation. I encourage you to just clear your lap, close your eyes, and relax. And I invite you to bring to mind a situation in your life where you can apply these ideas. It might be at work, it might be with family or friends or some kind of creative endeavor, or it might be something related to health, but whatever it is, an issue that you're facing, and particularly, let's ask ourselves, am I facing this all alone? Am I trying to do this by myself? And we ask God, please help me to remember what is eternal and true, and help me let go of the limitations I have imposed upon myself. Let me remember that I am subject to no laws but yours. No laws but yours, God. And that this recognition sets me free. It sets me free from all these seemingly logical and steadfast reasons that seem to limit me and hold me back. And even when I feel discouraged and I feel like I'm at the mercy of these physical or universal laws, I simply ask for help. And I ask for a higher view. I invite you, Spirit, into my mind. I ask you to lift me up, to inspire me, and remind me of these spiritual laws that apply and have always been the truth for me and the truth of who I am. And as I go about my daily life, I ask that you inspire all of my actions, all of my thoughts, all of my words. I accept your good in my life, in all my experiences. I let go and I receive. I let go and I receive. And let's take that into the silence.